The pilot training reform movement is already bearing fruit. A Yemeni man who allegedly charged an airliner cockpit faces prison time. And GA feels the love in New Jersey. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, the 13th of May, 2011. You've been hearing lots about last week's Pilot Training Reform Symposium, and you'll no doubt hear lots more. What SAFE put together is being hailed as a possible watershed event for general aviation, and ASA has made a significant response to one of the recommendations from the event. ASA is a brand familiar in FBOs and flight schools. The company's full name is Aviation Supplies and Academics, and it just announced it will make PDF versions of its syllabi available for download from ASA's website at no charge. The PDFs include two private pilot syllabi and one syllabus each for instrument, commercial, and helicopter. The specific recommendation to which ASA is responding, quote, addresses a specific problem of instructors teaching using the seat of their pants without the use of a syllabus or plan of action, unquote. The recommendation from the symposium also challenged industry to provide standardized curriculum templates that instructors can use in both Parts 61 and 141 training. Symposium Chair Bob Wright commented, quote, we are delighted that ASA and others have taken the symposium's message to heart and are responding with prompt action, unquote. A Yemeni man was arrested Sunday after he allegedly tried to enter the cockpit of an American Airlines flight. He's now been arraigned by a federal judge in California. Raga Ahmed Mohammed Al-Marisi faces up to 20 years in prison. Witnesses say Al-Marisi strode to the front of the airplane shortly before arrival in San Francisco Sunday evening and attempted to break down the cockpit door. An affidavit from a federal air marshal indicates that at first, the flight crew thought he was confused and tried to direct him to the lavatory, but that he then rammed the cockpit door with his shoulder while shouting, Allah Akbar. AFP News reports Al-Marisi was traveling alone with no checked or carry-on luggage from New York to San Francisco. He reportedly changed planes in Chicago. He has family living near San Francisco, but they apparently didn't know he was coming. Al-Marisi has not entered a plea. He's charged with interfering with a flight crew. His public defender has asked that he be released into the custody of his California family, and a hearing on that issue is scheduled for today. The former aviation director at Louis Armstrong International Airport has been sentenced to a year and a day in prison for insurance fraud. Sean Hunter will report to prison June 27th. Hunter pleaded guilty to one count of obstruction of justice in connection with an insurance scheme after Hurricane Katrina. The New Orleans Times-Picayune reports that Hunter's wife, Shauna, falsely claimed that her new BMW had been destroyed by the storm. Charges against Mrs. Hunter are still pending. A Boeing Business Jet 737 IGW, which stands for Increased Gross Weight, has been delivered to Beijing Airlines, a business jet subsidiary of Air China. Wang Wei, vice general manager of Beijing Airlines, took delivery at a ceremony at the Boeing Delivery Center in Seattle on Tuesday. This is the first BBJ for Beijing Airlines and brings its fleet to 11 business jets. Of Air China's long relationship with Boeing, Wang said, quote, we're thrilled to grow that relationship with the addition of our first BBJ to the Beijing Airlines fleet and look forward to working with Boeing to meet the demand of the rapidly expanding business jet market in China, unquote. Next stop for the green BBJ is Pratt's Aircraft Systems in Georgetown, Delaware, where the extended range fuel system will be installed. The airplane will then be flown to a completion center of the customer's choice, where the interior will be put in. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who recently made clear that he will not be a candidate for the U.S. presidency, has named May General Aviation Appreciation Month in his state. GA generates over $4 billion in economic impact every year in New Jersey and supports over 18,000 jobs. You can read the gleeful reactions of the alphabet groups in the text version of this story, dated May 12th, at arrow-news.net. Up next on ANN, Consumer Reports has rated U.S. airlines. SpaceX may be getting ready for an IPO. And a California group sues to stop the sale of 100 LOLED. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, the 13th of May. I'm Paul Platt. A new look at airline travel by Consumer Reports finds travelers complain most about comfort issues and excessive a la carte fees. Almost 15,000 passengers participated in the survey and gave 8 of the 10 major airlines in the poll low scores for seat comfort. Several carriers also got low marks for other quality of flight measures, including cabin crew service, cleanliness, and in-flight entertainment. Southwest and JetBlue, both of which are the frequent butt of jokes by late-night comedians who apparently haven't flown the airlines with the rest of us in quite a while, both were well-liked by consumers. Southwest got top marks for check-in ease and cabin crew service. Passengers also gave Southwest high grades for cabin cleanliness and baggage handling. JetBlue, which promotes its comfy leather seats, scored well for comfort. High ratings for in-flight entertainment may have to do with every seat having its own screen with a choice of 36 TV channels. U.S. Airways repeated its last-place finish from the last survey, taken in 2007, with low overall scores and the worst cabin crew service of any airline. And while the airlines seem to be in denial on this point, a la carte fees are not popular. Mark Kotkin, director of survey research at Consumer Reports, observed, quote, "What we found is that paying fewer additional fees generally translates into a passenger having a higher overall satisfaction with an airline," unquote. 93% of Southwest passengers said they made their flight without paying any of the fees mentioned in the Consumer Reports survey. In contrast, 43% of AirTran passengers reported paying one fee, 21% paid two, and 3% paid three or more fees on their AirTran flight. Pau Pyrenees in southern France has become Europe's first airport to use the new EGNOS Safety of Life service to guide aircraft in for landing using only satellite-based navigation. Clermont-Ferrand Airport in central France is also set to start using EGNOS, serving mainly business aircraft, as well as Marseille Airport, chosen because it is used by Eurocopter for helicopter certification. Le Bourget Airport is also scheduled to be equipped with EGNOS by the time the Paris Air Show starts next month. EGNOS stands for European Geostationary Navigation Overlay System and works something like WAS GPS in the U.S., using geostationary satellites with a network of ground stations to sharpen the accuracy. The so-called Beluga planes, used for transporting Airbus aircraft parts between industrial sites across Europe, will be the first large EGNOS-equipped aircraft, with their first certification flights due to take place later this spring. Military users will be able to get real-time high-def video, view infrared imagery, use radar, and even listen in on communication signals, all at the same time using Firebird, a new intelligence-gathering aircraft system unveiled by Northrop Grumman. Firebird offers a large internal payload bay and an ability to operate multiple intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and communications payloads simultaneously through a universal interface. The system is designed to be flown as a manned or unmanned aircraft. Firebird is set for an operational demonstration in an optionally piloted configuration from May 23rd through June 3rd during Empire Challenge 2011, a military exercise run by U.S. Joint Forces Command. Brett Johnson has been named as Chief Financial Officer of Space Exploration Technologies, better known as SpaceX, bringing 20 years of financial leadership experience in high-profile publicly traded companies to SpaceX as it undergoes rapid growth on the back of recent technological and market success. Johnson's appointment follows the company's fourth straight year of profitability. The total value of SpaceX, NASA, and commercial contracts recently topped $3 billion for more than 40 launches. The company has also grown to more than 1,300 employees. SpaceX CEO and Chief Technology Officer Elon Musk explained the choice. Quote, "Brett has an exceptional talent for financial management in high-growth, publicly held technology companies, Looking at his career, he is clearly someone that always sought out tough challenges and produced impressive results. His experience will be invaluable to SpaceX as we implement the financial standards and processes needed to allow for the possibility of becoming a public company, unquote. Johnson observed, quote, "My job at SpaceX will be to ensure financial discipline while supporting the formula that makes SpaceX great," unquote. And finally today, it's been 40 years since the automotive world was forced to start building engines which could run on unleaded gasoline, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is now in the early stages of proposed rulemaking for a similar ban on lead as an octane booster in aviation fuel. That change could ultimately take 20 more years against the lobbying of our alphabet groups and other political headwinds, but a group in California is tired of the stalling and determined to force the matter. CEH, the Center for Environmental Health, announced on Tuesday it has initiated legal action against ExxonMobil, Chevron, BP, Shell, AvFuel Corporation, and 38 airport-based suppliers of lead-containing aviation fuel for pollution of drinking water sources and/or air around 25 airports throughout California. Under California law, pollution of drinking water sources above state standards would require the companies to cease sales of their leaded gas. AOPA, EAA, and GAMA have rallied together to tout efforts to produce a lower lead alternative to 100 low lead, while research continues on a lead-free solution. The alphabet groups are also disputing some of the broad technical generalizations argued by CEH in the suit, and arguing for federal preeminence over state laws in regulating aviation. But with the EPA reporting that 550 tons of lead entered the environment through leaded avgas in 2005, or about half of all lead entering the environment, there could be a downside to GA's image in this approach, and it may be justified. In the end, this may become more a test of the willingness of politicians to expedite technical innovation in aircraft power plants. The big excuse for continued use of tetraethyl lead is the requirement for octane adequate to provide detonation margins in high-performance turbocharged engines running compression ratios as high as 9-to-1. But U.S. automakers are now turning out cheap, powerful engines which use gasoline direct injection and other technologies to accommodate compression ratios of 11-to-1 or higher on 87-octane unleaded pump gas. These engines all share one thing in common. They use technology you can buy off the shelf at Pep Boys or Napa, but which would be difficult and expensive to get certified for aircraft use. So you can get gasoline direct injection on a cheap Ford Focus, but not on a $500,000 airplane. There are also lots of owners of small GA aircraft who spent the money to get EAA's AutoGas STC, but now have to burn leaded avgas anyway because politicians mandated ethanol and pump gas to stroke the farm lobby. I guess, for the time being, the winners in all this might be experimental aircraft builders who can use newer engine technology, the folks developing Swift Fuel, the developers of diesels that can run on Jet A, or maybe just the manufacturers of gas cans. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the second and concluding part of Jim Campbell's conversation about emerging technologies with Honeywell's Roger Dykeman. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.